It Comes at Night is being advertised as a straightforward horror film, and its basic building blocks do come straight out of a Stephen King nightmare. There's a highly contagious plague, and a big house deep within the woods, and a family of survivors that's barricaded itself inside, unsure of what lurks beyond the always bolted front door when the sun goes down. But this isn't a zombie movie or a haunted house movie. Its dread is of the existential variety, and it turns out to be an almost meditative study of paranoia and an unflinching allegory in which man's worst tendencies are exacerbated by isolation and fear. There's something lurking around every corner in this movie, though it's never anything tangible. The family at the center of the film is led by Paul, played by Joel Edgerton, who is a history teacher before the airborne disease, which causes you to break out in welts and vomit black goo, left them stranded in their rural fortress. He lives with his wife Sarah, played by Carmen Ejogo, and their 17-year-old son Travis, played by Kelvin Harrison Jr., who we first see hidden behind bulky gas masks. Travis comes to function as our erstwhile protagonist. He looks on at the horrors of this new reality, and as the film opens, his grandfather has become infected and is killed in front of him, the body then burned in a shallow pit. One night, an interloper, played by Christopher Abbott, breaks into the house. Paul holds him at gunpoint and then marches him out into the forest, where he ties the guy to a tree and demands to know what his motives are. He's merely taking precautions. His name is Will, he claims. He's uninfected, and he assumed Paul's house was abandoned. His family lives about 50 miles away, and soon Will's wife Kim, played by Riley Keough, and their young son are also living in this makeshift compound. Tensions mount, though only gradually. Paul runs his homestead in a specific manner, and Will and Kim's sudden appearance shakes things up. Meanwhile, Travis is haunted by increasingly terrifying dreams, which begin to bump up against reality as the implications of the deadly plague cross-pollinate with the turmoil inside the house. It Comes at Night is the sophomore feature from writer-director Trey Edward Schultz, whose debut, Creesha, also concerned a family in a claustrophobic setting coming apart at the seams, although their exile was self-imposed and relegated to a cozy suburban home during a particularly disastrous Thanksgiving dinner. It was a promising first film, though it sometimes seemed to me that Schultz was straining for effect, with his camera swooping and weaving every which way, and his musical score cranked up to 11, all designed to underscore the sheer intensity of the drama. His style this time is a lot more elegant and confident. While Creesha was a frenetic and operatic film, It Comes at Night is far more insidious. It lurks in darkness, but you're never quite sure if it's going to pounce. This is an often eerily quiet film, with a visual composition that's almost fussy in its shrewdness, and many of its worst horrors remain implied, directly off-screen and reflected only in the eyes of its characters. And unlike in Creesha, which confronted us with uncomfortably naked emotion, Schultz purposefully holds us at arm's length this time, which isn't implicitly a bad thing. Remember, the zombie outbreak in Night of the Living Dead was never really explained, and it didn't much matter. It Comes at Night is in no real hurry to get where it's going, but it's sometimes so glacially paced that it almost comes to a screeching halt. The characters, too, feel more like types than people, which sometimes makes us wonder why anyone behaves the way they do. We catch fleeting glimpses of humanity. One of the couple share a private joke, and later two of the characters bond over an imagined feast, but they're mostly Kubrickian blank slates. Of course, you could argue that these people have been so defeated by the unceasing brutality of this dystopian landscape that their lack of any discernible personalities is really symptomatic of their bizarre circumstances. It's almost like they're under hypnosis, wandering about in a daze as they slowly turn against one another. You start to relate when the movie's over. More than any other recent film to receive a nationwide release, It Comes at Night is defined by its irrepressibly grim worldview, which leads to an ending of unimaginable but perhaps inevitable violence. When the movie was over, I was thankful to be able to stumble outside into the sunshine, though I was still under a shadow for the rest of the day. This movie doesn't want to scare, it wants to unsettle, and it does that almost too well. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.